Morning, friends. I started this podcast to learn from people who know way more than me and document my journey in becoming an online content creator. If you love learning about filmmaking, marketing, or entrepreneurship, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Videographer's Digest.
Hey everyone, today I'm here with Brian Nastasio, and he is a friend I met on LinkedIn, actually. He sent me a message, and I think his story is wonderful. I think his content's wonderful as well, and we're just going to talk about videography, and hopefully there'll be a few nuggets you can learn from it. So without further ado, Brian, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, hey guys, my name is Brian Nastasio. I'm pretty new with the videography. I just started in 2019. I'm an IT person, so that's my day job. And I just got into filmmaking. Some people would say filmmaking, some people would say videography, but I fell in love with it, the whole process of it, like from shooting until the lonely process of editing the video, finally showing it to your audience, even if no one watches it, right? It just feels right.
Yeah, Brian, how old are you?
I am 37. I'm turning 38 on December. This December.
Wow. So happy early birthday, or depending on when I upload this.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, so you were in IT, and now how did you get into videography? How did you
love that? It was... when was it? So August, I think that was August 2019. It was a festival in Morden, Manitoba. That's the name of the city that we were in. And I said, okay, maybe I can film this because it looks fun, you know. And then I actually borrowed the camera from one of our friends, and then the company that I was working for, they said, okay, you have to stabilize your video because you'll be running around with that for the raid and the festival, right? So, and it's going to be really shaky. Then they gave me this, it's a DJI Ronin stabilizer. And
wow. I used,
yeah. And that's a big one, right?
Yeah.
That one. And the camera that I use is a Nikon. Like the A90 Nikon. I don't know anything about the videos that time, so it was a 720p
yeah.
video, and then I shot everything on the parade and edited it on what was the editing tool from Mac?
Final Cut Pro, Final Cut X,
iMovie. The iMovie one.
Yeah.
So I edited everything from there, and then people loved it. And then they said, okay, you have to do some more. Then I bought my first camera, right? So SL2, then watched so many YouTube videos, this right. and that. And finally, I'm here now. And last year of 2020, we moved to Ontario, St. Catharines, Ontario.
Yeah.
And I kind of started a video production company, so it's called Manila Pictures. Sorry, I'm from Morgan.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like a really full-blown ones like Louis here. I mean, his reel is like, wow. I can't see anything. Yeah. When I see your reels, and I said, okay, mine is, just basic.
Right, you're selling yourself short here. I think, it's funny because we started our, companies around the same time, 2019. I think it's in July. And I still feel, because I noticed you said, you kind of started a company. When, you have, and maybe this is a reflection on me too, because I still feel weird saying that, hey, I started a business. Like, it feels kind of weird to say that.
I don't have the confidence to say it, although sometimes I wanted to, but it feels like I'm just trying to show off,
yeah
but really it's not. Right, I just wanted to say that I have this and I'm just proud that I started something, right?
Yeah, no, I love that because it's an LLC, it's a business, and I provide a service,
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. You want to try to stay humble and not like, because a lot of people do brag, but hey, I started a business, or hey, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a CEO, I'm a founder, you know? And it's tough to break through and just kind of be genuine about it.
Yeah, that's true. And well, it actually brings me to that question. How do you, you know, feel confident about, because some of your clients, I don't know, some of your clients are like your friends too, right? How do you constantly, you know, ask them for something or charge them for something, for your services, right? Mm-hmm. Because the ones that you see on my profile, since I'm just starting out with my portfolio, I think that's the best one, I think, okay?
Yeah.
So I gave that out like for free so I can have something on my portfolio.
Right.
I have something for people to see, you know? Mm-hmm. So like right now, really, there's a few people who's been asking me, but not as much as you do probably. So
I mean,
how do you do it?
I think a good example of this is, so I film, I'm in my university's choir. And so I know a lot of my friends sing and have recitals. And so I think 2 years ago now, or maybe 1 year ago, so right before COVID, my friend asked me to film a recital, which I've never done before. So I took my one camera, borrowed another friend's camera, and filmed it. It was about an hour and a half, and I took about 2 hours to edit it. I charged her $20 because I was worried about the result. Like, if I charged $300 and it sucked, like, I would feel terrible.
Yeah.
But like, oh, 20 bucks, like, what's the, that's like a drop in the bucket, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
With that one, I charged $20, and then her mom paid me and tipped me another $20. So I made $40 overall. And then I started getting more requests to do more recitals. And so I started just charging more, telling them my rate, because I knew that $20 was way cheaper than like I should have been working.
Yeah.
I think the next one I charged $50. And then after that, because they're very, like, everyone's so kind and they're really nice about it and saying, like, oh, thank you for filming this. And so I was like, okay, if people find a lot of value in this, I just don't need to find where I'm worth, you know? And so
yeah.
I charged $100 for a while, then $125, I think $150. And then now, because I got really busy with other stuff, and my girlfriend was telling me, like, hey, you're very overworked right now and overloaded with a lot of things. You need to try to scale back something. So I doubled my prices. I went up to $295, and yeah. I was still getting inquiries, but I was still able to kind of have enough work and enough time for myself to justify the things I was doing. So like you, my first one was very low price or free, so I could show people what I was capable of. And then you just have to, and I'm not saying this definitively, I'm just saying this is what I did. Like,
yeah,
increase the price until maybe, like, let's say I did, like, oh, it was $1,000, for example.
Yeah.
I would probably not get any inquiries or people ask me to do that. So at that price, I know, okay, I need to lower it down and find a nice balance for what people will value me as, if that makes sense. And those are all friends, too. That's the kind of the difficult part, because all these people I see in class almost every day. And
yeah.
So I don't want to feel like I'm ripping them off, but I also don't want to feel
cool
or want them to feel like they're not paying me enough. So
yeah.
It's, you know, it's an agreement.
Yeah. Ah. Well, at least, you know, it's nice to know that I'm not the only one feeling that way.
Yeah. No, like you said stuff. And I think once, if you like start to do a certain type of video in an industry for a while, you can, like, photographers will be like, okay, a 2 hour session is like $300, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do the same thing, like, oh, one recital, hour and a half, $300, and just set that as your rate. You know, because also, you know, like, how much time it takes, how much overhead costs you have. You know, you have to factor all those things in, which we can dive into more if we want to in a bit. But you know, like, how much money you need to survive and then also to make a profit, because as a business, that's also part of it too, that I sometimes forget.
Yeah, true. I mean, as sometimes you don't even factor out, like, okay, the electricity that you're using for or that so many hours of editing, right? It's not like it's not like on the dot that you're, you know, you're trying to charge for your stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's really insightful.
thank you.
But yeah.
And sometimes even like, because I'm a video person, and I'm way more comfortable shooting video than photos.
Yeah.
Oftentimes our friends will ask me to take pictures or do headshot sessions, which I like to do. They're fun. But if they're a close friend, like, I'll discount them, like, 70%, 50%, you know, if I know them really well. And I'm not necessarily saying that's a good business tactic. Probably not.
Yeah.
But, like, you can, let's say you have a package that's a two-hour session, four locations, the whole nine yards, whatever. You have a friend that just needs, like, one headshot. You can just go and take a picture of them for, like, 15 minutes in, like, an alley or something. Like a nice alley, like a brick alley or something. And then just like say, hey, like you owe me lunch or something very casual like that. And I forget that they're like the creative skills of video and photo are kind of difficult.
It is, yeah.
Master.
Yeah. I mean, when I started it, I thought, okay, I'm just gonna learn filmmaking. And then it's like you open, like a Pandora
box. You know?
Pandora's box, right? You open it up and then, whoa.
Right.
There's a lot of things that I have to learn. Yeah. I mean, if it's IT, maybe I can answer, you know, a couple of things for you confidently. But filmmaking is, I don't know, it's on another level.
Yeah, because you said you learned through doing YouTube, right? Just watching YouTube videos primarily?
Yeah, I did watch lots of YouTube videos, but primarily I've been watching Casey Neistat. I think you know him too. So he's one of my, I would say he's one of like the inspiration for me, because I like his style of filming. I mean, I like the other videographers too. I get tips and tricks from them as well. But we all have this, you know, favorite filmmaker, right? So, and Casey Neistat is one of them, because I don't know, he's artistic in that way, and he doesn't need to color out everything just to tell a story, you know?
Yeah.
Like right now, you'll see lots of videos, like your videos and my videos. We have to color grade it, so you know, to a certain tone, so we can say that this video is for like a happy promo video, right? Something like that. But for him, it was different. He's just an artist.
And I guess that's the difference between, you know, brand video, corporate videos.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a very fine line, because I'm sure there's ways to monetize that type of video and that type of vlog that he originated. And
yeah, well, I guess his type of promo video stuff is completely different from what we see right now, right? I don't know if you've seen his videos, like that one for that he did for Mercedes Benz.
Probably not that one. I haven't watched the stuff recently, but I noticed his style.
Yeah, that was a long time ago that he shot. Yeah, he only shot it because they allowed him to shoot it his way. Otherwise, yeah, now that's as far as I know. I could be wrong, but yeah, that's what I heard.
That makes sense, because his style and his brand, with their brand, like they saw that worked on YouTube, that vlog style, they probably just wanted to put the same spin on their commercials.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much like probably the same for you, right? You have your personal branding, you have your name on it, you have a completely different style from other videographers. Even if you put it side by side, you can see that, okay, this is Lewis's, you know, video.
Yeah. And I think there was something I learned. I think it was a book or a saying, but like art is stealing or something, that's probably butchered. But like when you're looking at other people's work and other videographers, it's I think it's perfectly okay to say, I like the way they shoot this, or I like the way that they color this, and take that on for yourself and emulate it. Because at the same time, you're not going to be them, pretty much. You're going to have your own flair and style to your own work, and just grab different parts of things from other people that you like, and then eventually your own style will come from that.
Yeah, I think I've seen that. Was it the quote that you're referring to?
I think it was.
It says, the line says something that he who does not copy doesn't create. Something like that.
Right.
Because you cannot really create something. I mean, for me, I can really say that from the beginning, I copied so many things, because that's the only way to, you know, to build your portfolio, right? Because I don't know anything.
I mean you're right. I think for me, like, I've copied so many techniques and learned from somebody's tutorials and just taken their information, and I guess now I have a style, right? I mean, but I still think that, like, I know where my inspirations are, and if you put them maybe side by side, you can probably see where I get certain things from. Like slow motion shots, how I shoot those, the gimbal that I use, the microphone that I use.
I like those shots that you did, it looks like a portrait headshot, but it looks like a hero, film kind of thing.
Oh, was that?
It has that vibe.
Yeah, yeah. Was that the one with the girl?
Yeah. That one, yeah. It has that hero vibe thing. And I like it.
Mm-hmm. And even then, I think, back to what you said about confidence, right? I think doing this on your own, maybe, is what helped me build so much confidence, because I started on iMovie too. I started editing on iMovie and trying to do a bunch of crazy stuff. And then once iMovie could no longer, because they had a lot of presets, do the things that I wanted to do, I switched to Premiere Pro. And once Premiere Pro wasn't cutting out for it, I learned how to use After Effects. But I didn't take any classes. It was just YouTube tutorials and diving deep into everything. And so, like, could I pass a test on the definitions of Premiere Pro? I did for LinkedIn for that badge.
But wow.
In a general sense, I know the mechanics, and I know how to change things to create the results that I want visually or through audio. But I had to do that all through trial and error. And I think that's probably why it feels like I have so much confidence in these things, because I know that if a certain way doesn't work, like if I'm editing, I can just do two or three other things and make the same result come out of it.
Yeah.
And just diving deep into it and figuring it out as I go. Because, like, if you look at my work from way back in the day, like even 2-3 years ago, which I guess isn't that long ago.
No, it's maybe, not. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe 4 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, well, seeing your work, it looks like, if you didn't tell me that you started just in 2019, or if I haven't seen your experience like 2019, I would say you've been doing it for a long time.
No, thank you. I mean, technically, I think I probably started in 2017. I was making videos for my high school, like not commercials or anything, but just like skits for the. Basically, we have broadcast journalism, and in that class, once a month, each class makes a video for the whole school to see. Everyone, and during homeroom, or I think AMP, as we call it, it's a homeroom. So, at the same time, the entire school would watch this broadcast video. So I'd have like news about the school, whatever's going on, like fun bits and skits, which is what me and my friends start to do. And so we started from doing like a news story to like a murder mystery, and then we went on the roof of our school, and we had a lightsaber battle, and then I was doing Avengers effects, you know, by our last one. But through that, I gained a lot of experience just trying to stretch the bounds of what I was able to do with like the technology that I had. I was still using a camera from 2009, and I was still using like a very old computer to edit everything. Yeah. So yeah, I think it's just trying things out. And it was lucky for me that I had deadlines to follow, because it's really easy to fall behind and not post things or not even, you know, finish something, because you can never really finish 100%, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you like, if someone asks you for, you know, for a video thing, how do you like script it? And I mean, maybe that's what they say about it, like script or write it. You know, how do you really visualize how it would come up with when someone just throws you an idea, you know? Mm-hmm. Because for me, I think besides editing, that's another challenge. Like from the start, okay, I'm gonna have to plan all this, write things down, right? So how do you really start from that?
For me, there's two types of audio that I like to use. The first one is like a testimonial type video where someone's talking about the company. And the second is a voiceover where you'll write it out and you script it to whatever the need is. And for me, I think if you're in a call with someone talking about the video, the two main things I think about that should be the focus of that conversation is who's the audience? Who are you talking to? Who do you want this message directed to? And then what results do you want to come from it? What's your call to action? Is it buy this product? Is it register for this course? Is it brand awareness as a more broad term? Mm-hmm. But if you're bouncing ideas off a person and they say, oh, let's, you know, have them talk about how great, you know, the teachers are, if it's a course.
Yeah.
That would make sense because it's leaned toward the course, but they say something, I don't know, like, let's talk about the teacher's life and maybe that'll get people to feel something, like that's not necessarily a great tie into their, you know, what they want the result to be.
Yeah.
And so I think it's perfectly fine to take on, you know, what the client is looking for and maybe their ideas. But oftentimes they'll probably know really well who their audience is, what they're talking to. Because if you work with business owners, they tend to know their industry very well. But also as a professional videographer, you can also say, yeah, that's probably good. But for this type of content, maybe it's too long. It won't keep people's attention. And so you're an expert in your field too. You can rebuttal, but in a nice way. Say, this probably won't work, but if you shorten it or maybe make it more concise or target it differently, it'll better work for you and the client.
Yeah. Sorry, I think I'm having a brain fart here.
No, you're good.
Yeah. What was I going to ask you? Do you have a background in marketing at all or not?
I'm actually, I'm still in college.
You do, Pat, yeah, right?
Probably less than most people, maybe. I'm still a student, so I have one more year in college. I'm a senior at Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa. And so for the first year and a half I was here, I was a neuroscience major doing STEM. Oh, wow. And then I guess, and it was too much for me though, because a year and a half in, I switched to marketing. So I've been a marketing major for the past, what is it, like 1.5 years or so. I'm not a numbers person, so that's bad. But I learned, like, I've taken like basic marketing courses, and then I'm taking a bunch of upper level courses this semester. So I know the basics.
Yeah, I guess that's helping a lot with, you know, with what you wanted to do, right? Because for me, it's kind of, you know, like on the opposite sides of the spectrum. Well, I did like a digital marketing foundation, like in LinkedIn, but some of them doesn't make sense still to me. It's still foreign.
Like courses or?
Yeah, I did the digital marketing fundamentals and LinkedIn. Although I did pass the course, you know, I have the certificate, but some of the things that I don't know, it doesn't connect to me. Some of the things that I understand, but I don't know.
I one very good source that I recommend on YouTube, his name, or I guess the channel's name is called The Future. Without E. Have you heard of that channel?
Is that Chris Doe?
Yeah, Chris Doe. Yeah.
Ah, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's an excellent source for working as a creative individual and figure out, you know, how to price things. Because he's a graphic designer, not necessarily a videographer, but one thing I try to remember when I'm marketing is that people don't really want a video. They want the results that come from the video. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, because you can have the best video in the world, but it doesn't do anything.
Like, no, why, yeah.
Why would
even if they have the, you know, the perfect colors and then the epic looking video, but right?
Yeah. And that's more so like on the business side, if you're making things corporately or business clients, like weddings, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Visuals are very important and they're not trying to sell anything. But if you're working with other businesses, it's the results. Is that the most important part?
Yeah, that's true. Especially like right now, right? When this COVID thing started and until now, it's still a problem. I think more and more people are, you know, getting inclined with just watching videos. You know, even the products that they buy, they would look for videos first, like the reviews and all, right? So. What else?
I mean, you're right. It's a growing industry. And my friend even just texted me. He's actually a client. I knew him in high school, but I just edited some videos for him. And it was a TikTok of Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank talking about the importance of video editors and how if you have a killer video editor, you're already... got a good point, pretty much. And he was telling me that as token of appreciation and saying, hey, this made me think of you, which is super nice because I've known him since third grade, but I really didn't talk to him ever, really, until he was my client. And it's insane to see how fast this industry is growing, how much is growing, and how much it changes so quickly. You know, from even filming videos vertically to horizontally and making them 30 seconds, 60 seconds, to them not necessarily needing to be TV ads. It's kind of a lot to keep up with, I think. It's, how do you feel about that?
Like those vertical videos thing?
Or just like keeping up with, you know, what works?
Well, it's just so fast that, you know, sometimes I cannot cope up. You know, I'm still thinking of something that's going to work for me. And then all of a sudden, another video comes out with the same idea that I was thinking.
yeah.
Right? Hey, that's my idea.
Right.
I should have, you know, put it up. Like, yeah, but I don't know, maybe just shoot more and then, you know, just do more so we can cope up. I don't know. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, it's just doing a lot, pretty much, keeping up and trying to, watch content, watch other people's content, see where, what direction it's going towards, but also reflecting and creating content of your own. I think it's the hard part because, like, even shooting something on a camera and then editing it and then putting it out, there's so many little steps between everything, like what aspect ratio should you export in? How do you color grade? What clips should you even start to edit? There's a lot of different parts, and I've been reflecting on this a little bit, but as an artist, it's tough to kind of create a process to make things easier for you, like an assembly line. Like as a business person or business owner, like that's a necessary step, standard operating procedure. You need to figure out like how you're going to go from point A to like delivery of the product.
Yeah.
But doing, like creating a process of everything, I think, is very helpful. But it's also, you have to sit down and then do it and then also execute it in a consistent way. And how do you do that when everything in your life's going, you know, the life goes by, you know, you have a lot of different responsibilities. I know you talked about your two kids earlier. And I mean, that's expertise that you have that I don't have yet. Hopefully.
You'll get there.
not soon, hopefully.
But, you know, it has its own time. So take your time, take your sweet time, like right now.
How do you balance it? Like family life and work and then this pursuit?
Well, as much I wanted this to, you know, this passion to somehow maybe later on make a living out of it instead of, you know, me working in the IT, because I still think, although that I love working in the IT because I love this solving problem kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And I think I'm solving problems too with, you know, with the videography and all. But I spend time like with my boys and with my wife as much as I can. You know, with maybe at night, I would say after work, I play video games with them. Like yeah. the whole family plays video games. I'm on that generation right now.
That's so nice. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. So we all love video games. So I play video games with them at least maybe 2 hours. Then after that, I go back to, you know, this freelancing thing. I also have things in Upwork. I don't know if you dealt with that platform, but I did a couple there too, and just trying to make the business work. And then during the day, so like I have the 9-to-5 work. I have to, of course, you know, people do that. So
right.
Then the table and then pay all the bills and all that. So, yeah. I mean, it's working. Sometimes I think about it and then, okay, how did my day go?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it just went, you know, by fast. Like the whole week will just be gone. But I'd say spend as much time with my family, and then the rest, I think, is easy. I can say confidently. So.
No, I believe that too. And you've got, I mean, the years of experience. That's the one thing. Well, not the one thing. I have a lot of things that I don't have, but that's a thing that I have that you have: years of life experience.
Yeah.
And if it's anything, because I've been kind of struggling with pursuing success versus school versus relationships versus all these things, family time. And if there's anything I've heard over and over again, it's that relationships are what matters in terms of your happiness.
You know? Yeah, that I would totally agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, all those, I think it's that definition of success. I don't know if it's just a cliche trying to, you know, the definition of success is not just, you know, you have more money, you have more of this and that, but I think it's more of a preference. If your definition of success is money, then, you know, go for it.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is one lesson I learned that about financial literacy. That's like a very easy lesson. It's like, you know, if you're making more money, don't spend more money. That's something that I like to do, and it's a very bad habit.
I think you and me both.
Because, like, if your definition of success is like making $100,000 a year or something, one of my very loose feelings of success is like having the ability to spend money and not be worried about it. And maybe it's just the, you know, part of it is that I don't have a lot of anxiety. I'm not very high in neuroticism, and I don't feel a lot of negative emotions.
Yeah.
So I'll make more money and I'll spend it and it'll be like, oh, this feels right. This feels like I'm successful, right? I can buy like a new microphone and not necessarily need to worry. I mean, I still budget and be semi-responsible, right? Like, make sure my rent's paid.
Yeah.
But this is not advice. If you're listening to this point, don't take my advice and do what I'm doing here, because this is not something that you should save your money and be better.
Yeah. I mean that goes there too. Yeah. You have to save, you know, you have to save for your bills in your house and other important things first, and then and probably in the next one is your, you know, yourself too, right?
Yeah.
So
really quick, guys, if you're still here, thank you so much for continuing to support the podcast. Just so you know, this isn't monetized, so I'm not making any money off of this, and I also have nothing to sell you. The only thing I could ask is that you rate, review, and share this podcast if you found it valuable. That's all I have. Now, back to the interview.
With video, then, is it still, I'm guessing your nine to five still is your main source of income, right? Is it, how is video feeling for you? Like, is it rising? Is it still stagnant? Is it falling?
I would say the video production, like the company, right?
Yeah, just like cash flow.
Yeah. A video, the cash flow is like really stagnant. Though, as I said earlier, I don't know anything about the video and marketing.
Okay.
Yeah. If you give me a laptop, for example, right, and then you said, okay, there's a blue screen on my laptop, can you please fix it? I'll fix it for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's in there. But with this thing, so I'm still learning so many things. So I said, let's just feel relaxed and let it feel stagnant. Maybe I can do it. Like, I'll see it as a marathon, you know. If I, for example, this year, because I started it last year, right? Like officially last year, I started it here in Ontario. I said, okay, I'll just do all the portfolio this year. And then if something comes, then it comes. And then if not, then that's okay. Yeah. I keep telling myself, okay, I just, you know, gather some more portfolio. And then in the right time, something great will come my way. Yeah.
I mean, I love that attitude, especially doing portfolio work. Because I still believe in the free-to-fee method. You know, if you try to break it into industry, you have no leverage. You have maybe skills. The only thing that the client or prospect would lose is their time. So you have to try to justify it, like the hour or so that they're maybe losing for you to prove your case. But if you do prove your case, then massive rewards, you know. And even talking to you now, like, yeah, you have to do good work, but also be very pleasurable to work with. Be like, just...
Yeah, well, at least that's an experience, right?
Right, exactly. And for the people listening right now, like, I mean, Brian, like, your smile is very glow, it lights up a room. That's the cliche line.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it just...
I am glad.
Yeah. And so I can tell you're just super fun to be around. And I think, especially in the beginning, yeah, it's easy to get in your head. It's easy to start to get stressed because you're doing new things. You're doing things that you haven't done before, especially portfolio work.
Yeah.
But this is how my choir director talks about performing. You know, people are coming and we're kind of just giving what we can to them. And whether they like it or not, like, it doesn't really matter. Because when you're doing free work, you're giving yourself and your skills to these people. And, you know, if they're mad that they lost an hour, or they hate your work, well, maybe just move on, right? Try something else, like another client. But you still have the experience and you still have something to show for it.
Yeah.
And so just, you're doing your best work, being fun to be around. I mean, if you're pleasurable to work with, regardless, I don't think people will necessarily be upset that they were around you at that time.
Yeah.
That they got to know you.
Yeah, when I actually started doing the portfolio work, I said to myself, okay, I'm gonna accept whatever it may be that a customer or a client tells me that, okay, your video is not good. I said to myself, I'm gonna accept that. It will get into my head maybe a day or two. I'll get crippled, you know, because
right,
just because, right. And then I'll go back up again and then just do it over again and then do it better next time. Mm-hmm. So,
because if someone's paying you like $2,000 to make a video and they say I don't like this, well, that's where you say, okay, I have revisions in my contract, so we can fix it.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
But if it's for free, like, I had a client one time where I made a product video for them, and they were like a friend of the family friend. No, they're a friend of my mom's, not a family friend.
Oh, so
kind of close, but I talked to him. He said, these are the products. Can you make a video? I said, sure. Normally I charge for this $250, which was just a number I came up with because I'd never done one before, but it seemed about right for my level of skill and the amount of time it would take. And he said no to that. So I was like, okay, sure, I'll do it for free, mostly for myself, to try doing a product video. So he handed me a bunch of his products and I took it home and I made some product videos, or made one like 30-second or 1-minute ad. And I used like a bunch of stuff from like lamps from home because I didn't have my equipment where I was at the time. So a bunch of makeshift stuff, but I still think it looked pretty good.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was talking to a client, he said, as a counter to my $250, he said, I could get some guy in the Philippines to do this for $30 or for $10. So I said, if I didn't know how to respond to that at the time. So I said, I'll just do it for free, right? And then I delivered the video to him. I talked to him. And I sent it to him. And he told me, you know, I think it was a pretty good video. It's pretty nice music. Obviously, it's biased because I made it. But the only response he gave me was, the background's ugly. I said, okay, man, that took like 5 hours to do. But I didn't. So, yeah, that kind of bruised my ego a bit. But at the same time, like, I don't need. If someone wants to spend $20, $30 on a video overseas or something, like, that's fine, I think.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to be the cheapest person. You don't want to fight on price point.
No.
Because I'll just.
I mean, we're all different, right? I'm from the Philippines, by the way. So, I'm a pretty easygoing guy. So, don't worry about it.
Okay. Like, and that was a quote from him, not me.
So, yeah, but that's not a nice thing to say, really.
Yeah. Right.
Whatever that was, but if I can remember one thing, I have a friend from, he's from Manitoba. He makes music videos. So, he said to me, like, you know, each of us, like directors, filmmakers, we have a different style, right? So if someone wants to go to Lewis, if someone wants to go to Brian, that's fair. Okay. Go to them. That's why we have so many, right? Like, we have there's so many of us to choose from. It, because if you say that there's only one director or there's only one filmmaker who can do an amazing job, then okay, what about the rest?
Right.
So that's why you see so many. There's so many movies, right? There's so many directors and all. But behind that, like, they support each other too. So we shouldn't be really, you know, I think we should be more kind. Either from filmmakers or from clients or customers. I don't know. That's just me.
No, I 100% agree. And I remember when I first started this podcast, right before COVID hit, you know, my second guest was a videographer from Des Moines. And we talked about this a bit, I think, on that episode, but it was turning competitors into friends, or just, it's not comrades. What is it? Turning competitors into just someone you work with, pretty much. And that's the synonym. I can't remember the word for the life of me. But then, like, today, I was on a shoot with him, taking behind-the-scenes footage from him, and he's paying me. We're working together. And then I met another photographer and videographer from that shoot, and now we're connected, too. So, I mean, if there's people that are good to be around, you're going to want to be around them and just build a community. And I guess that goes back to maybe what we talked about before. I can't remember if we were filming or not yet, but being lonely and like editing, being by yourself, like connecting with people, relationships is what I found to be the key to kind of get over that hump. Because you're right, like, this job and this line of work can get very, very lonely because you're by yourself a lot of the times doing things on your own, you know, figuring things out on your own, working on your own. And so finding people that you can relate to and talk to and just bounce ideas off of, or even get advice from, over time, you're going to build a network of just friends, I think.
Yeah. I think in this line of work, I think that's probably why, you know, I wanted to really get into this industry, And given the chance, you know, like right now, let's say tomorrow, someone would tell me, okay, get into my crew and we'll pay you the same money as your company is paying you. Then I'll jump. All right, why not? Because I just think this is, you know, for me, this is the most rewarding job that, you know, I can get, right? Yeah. And that's how I see it, at least. I don't know for other people, but yeah, I don't know if you're resonating with me, but there's so much into this industry that it fulfills you, right? Yes, it gets lonely sometimes because, you know, no one will be, you know, watching your back, trying to watch your video, working on it for 15 hours, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, it's just the thought of creating something out of nothing. And that makes you...
Brian, I mean, this... Because I know you reached out to me on LinkedIn for, you know, advice and questions. But you're reminding me of how I felt. Like, for the past couple, maybe months, maybe I've been feeling more... not lethargic, but... Like, video is my passion, right? But I've not necessarily been feeling as passionate as I used to.
Yeah.
For maybe a variety of reasons. Maybe just COVID, being staying inside, maybe not feeling creatively inclined to do work or anything like that. But I mean, I 100% resonate with what you just said. You know, the act of spontaneous creation, making something out of nothing and making something that looks great and meeting new people. I mean, that is in and of itself was inspiring to me personally because
I'm
confident about my work. Hopefully not overconfident, right? Mm-hmm. And I think I do a pretty good job and I think I love what I do, but I don't always love what I do. And I get tired and I get...
Yeah, which is normal sometimes, yeah. Right?
And like peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
And I think it's rewarding to talk to other people in the field because... I mean, like, I don't know if you expected me to be exceptionally passionate, because I am, but, like, at this moment in time,
I'm on the same boat as you, you know, because I think when we both started, there's, like, that burning passion, right? Like, a really big flame that, you know, I went up. They like the feeling of I'm gonna conquer the world with, you know, with my filmmaking kind of thing.
Yeah.
No. Right now it kind of died down a bit, probably because of the pandemic too, right? You cannot move a lot as much as before, right? And you cannot like really easily connect to people the way it is before, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think just reaching across the barrier and connecting, even via Zoom now. For a little while, I was apprehensive about restarting my podcast over Zoom because I like face-to-face. You know, I like talking and, like, feeling the energy of the room. But, I mean, I feel the energy now, even though we're very far away from each other.
Yeah, just the interaction with people. What I can tell you when I was back in Manitoba, like, on that company that I work for, they actually manufacture RVs, like motorhomes. Yeah, luxury motorhomes. The Leisure Travel Vans is the name of the company. I don't know, if you want to look it up. they are a pretty cool company. They have supported me all the way here. Although I'm already here, they're still very, you know, passionate of what I love to do. I actually made like training videos for them, like the Microsoft 365 system. So, yeah. What was I? Where was I? I got distracted.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Where was I again? I'm there at that company. I walk around like almost the whole day. Like there. Four plants, four buildings that I have to go to. I talk to people a lot because I love the interaction, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, it gives me the sense of of achievement because I talked to them. And then when they say I have this kind of problem, and then we figure it out together, and then, you know, poof, it's fixed.
I think
it's good to be in a state of like always having to find a solution, or like working with people to find, you know, the answer to your problems. Like, yeah, and even today before, you know, this call, when I was on the shoot and I dropped my new camera and shattered my viewfinder, or not my viewfinder, my screen. No, that scared me, right? I was like, what's going on? I'm supposed to film this, my only camera. But I was like, okay, maybe I want to borrow a second camera, or, oh, wait, look, my viewfinder still works, so I can still record, but I can't use my screen. So I was filming everything, you know, on a gimbal with my camera up to my face because that was the only way I could see things.
Yeah.
And yeah, the camera would shut off every, you know, couple seconds, or maybe if I get lucky, like a minute and a half due to an error. But I got to use it, and that's the way it's got to be. And I have a warranty of insurance, so it should be all right, generally speaking. And I have a shoot, you know, on Thursday, but I can just borrow a friend's camera and use this sparingly. So it's, yeah, it's kind of stressful, but it's also when you're in that state of just finding solutions and making things work for the better. I mean, I think that prevents stress more than like worrying about it and like, what am I going to do? Because you figure out a way and then you just do it. But also, I'm not an anxious person. So that also is maybe partially it. Maybe to a fault.
Wow. Yeah. I actually don't know what else to, you know, I mean, off the top of my head, that I know that there's so many things that, you know, I wanted to ask you because, you know, you just started this company and I'm starting from like really zero. Yeah,
for zero, that's amazing. I mean, that's great. It's great, especially on top of a job and a family, you know.
Yeah, great. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, what else? I don't know. Maybe you have some, you know, some questions for me. Maybe I can answer. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you think about making videos like for IT, like merging your IT experience and your budding video experience? Or did you want to just do something kind of completely different from like, just get away from that?
I think I only did like that course because I have a background in the IT, right? And then I also have this passion to somehow teach non-IT or non-technical people to make them better understand, you know, that, yeah. Okay, if it's not because it's technical, maybe we just need to explain it in a way that's easy to decipher, right?
Right, right.
So I have that kind of passion, but in the long term, it's not something that I really, you know, wanted to do. Eventually, I'd say, like, I could feel that I wanted to make like a feature film.
Yeah.
Eventually, I hit somewhere there.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Work. Yeah. I think you have it too, right? I mean, yeah. You wanted to at some point, right?
There's always. I mean, even like, let's say if I quit doing video next year and try something else, like, I'm glad I did this and attempted to do it as hard as I could, you know? And that's what I did, like, in my past, even with neuroscience for a year and a half, yeah. Or doing that, or even before that, musical theater, or running track and field and playing sports. Like, I did these for short bursts of time, very intensely, as much energy as I could. And then maybe that burned me out, maybe that was why, but also, I don't feel like I wasted any time. Like, I learned a lot of things about myself, maybe what I like to do, what I don't like to do. And then that just like narrows down what else I can try and what might work.
Yeah. And how old are you again?
I'm 21. So
you're still very young, and wow, you're so talented. Like when you tell me neuroscience, that okay, that's beyond me.
It was beyond me too, so that's why I left that.
Yeah, so Yeah, I mean, I think you're gonna be great. Yeah, I well, for me, I also don't think that, you know, even if I stop doing videos for a while, like let's say for next year, at least, you know, I don't have that regret that I did not try. You know, I did not do my best just because I was scared. I told you before, right? I'm really scared. Like even right now, I still feel nervous, but you know, it calmed down a little bit.
Uh-huh. But yeah.
But I said, okay, I have to do it. I have to go through it. You know, I'm gonna be 14 a couple of years, and I don't want to see myself like, you know, like crying on the side, seeing myself, and you know, why did you not do it, right? Then,
right.
I don't want to see that, and that's my biggest fear. I'd still do it, even though if it's scary.
I mean, that's what I mean. I really admire that about you, putting yourself out there, and also like doing things you're scared of, and also starting a venture with humility and being willing to do free work, because that's kind of like, you can think highly of yourself, maybe to a fault, where you think, you know, I'm 37 years old. 37, right?
37, what?
Yeah, 37. And think, you know, I have experience. People should be paying me more because of the experience you have, the life experience you have. But the fact that you're able to, you know, pull back and say, I'm still a beginner. I'm still learning this. And yeah, it's scary. And I'm doing it, even though it's scary. And I'm putting myself there. I mean, I think that's I think it's just inspiring to.
Well, thank you, man. I'm glad. And I hope, you know, if there's anyone listening to it, and if it's, you know, resonating to them, I hope they, you know, they come out of their shells too, you know. And that's why we said earlier, like, relationships are important. So these people from the company that I work for, they're not just my colleagues, they're like friends.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them.
So it's nice.
So it's nice to be around, you know, people who support you like all the way. No holds the back.
Yeah. And when you start to talk to people in the industry too and make friends that way, it's just another level. Like, people are your friends and they'll be there for you, and also they know what it's like. And that's invaluable, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have your wife and your kids, and you told me how well they support you, which is nice too. But
they do. Sometimes they don't like to get filmed, and you know, they're just thinking of, you know, how so much there's so much work involving in filmmaking. Actually, my wife, like last year, we started like a cooking channel video in YouTube, but we had to stop it because we had to move here. So yeah, she did like it at some point, but we had to stop because there's so much work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to do a consistent show.
Yeah, and you have to be really consistent if you wanna, you know, grow your YouTube. I think you have a YouTube channel too, right?
Yeah, that's not consistent at all, though. I'm not gonna mention that, because I haven't posted anything for a long time.
Well, I did too, but just for a bit, and then I had to like really put a full stop, because I couldn't think of anything. Or I couldn't think of any content at all.
Yeah, that happens too, where you just don't have you feel like you don't have any good ideas. And then what do you do? Right, you spend time thinking of things and brainstorming, but that's also time you could be spending with your kids. So.
Yeah, that's true too. You feel, or I'd say, sometimes I feel guilty because, you know, instead of, okay, I could have spent, you know, a little bit more time with them, but on the other hand, sometimes I'm thinking about work and about this videos. So I'm always doing a self check. You know, okay, that's not good. So I have to go and just spend time with them and, you know, like, you know, play with them, because that's what they love to do. Yeah,
and that's important, to be with your loved ones.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably the most important thing, right?
Right. Because at the end of the day, it's like, I realize I've been saying the word like a lot, but that's just a self-analysis. But we're working, you know, we're starting a business, doing things that we love to make enough money to sustain ourselves so we can make, you know, create the life that we want. And is that life going to be, like, would it be 100% working or 100% spending time with our loved ones? And the more I reflect on that, I think, yeah, I do love work. I do like making money so I can live the life that I want. But also, what is that for? Like, at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, is it good enough in and of itself to be a fantastic filmmaker, videographer? I'm sure it's probably satisfying. It was for me. It is for me. But then it's really about the people that you care about, I think, personally.
Yeah. I mean,
and yourself, too. Care about yourself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, reflecting on what you said there, like, I think, I'd say 2019, like late 2019 and early 2020 last year, that was the peak of that burning passion, right? At some point, I was doing a lot of learning videos, you know, want to make something. And sometimes I get my family involved. I want to shoot some videos with them. And then I stepped back a bit, and then I was reflecting and saying, because they were telling me, hey, Dad, we actually, you know, we need you to spend time with us too. Yeah, I mean, we know that you're actually thinking of us too. You wanted to give us a comfortable life. That's why maybe you're grinding, hard working,
yeah,
things, right? So you have your day job, and then you have this hustle and everything, right? Yeah. Stepping back on it, then I say, like, because of the YouTube videos, there's a lot of work involved, right? So I spent most of my time in there, and I love video gaming. Mm-hmm. I stopped playing video games, like, completely. So I wasn't playing with them anymore, you know, and I was sometimes being grumpy, and then just looking at it, I said, okay, do I want to be a famous YouTuber, or, you know, a filmmaker, or do I want my family to be comfortable?
Yeah.
You know, do I want to be a star?
Right. And yeah. I can't remember if you said this before you started filming too, but Brian, you would play video games with your kids, which I think is something that most fathers don't do, at least nowadays, maybe not the fathers that I talk to. And so I think it's an amazing way to relate to them and also spend time with them. But, like, what's the cost of trying to build something, right?
Yeah, I think at least, you know, while they're, you know, they're still here with us, because these boys, I mean, they're going to grow up, right? They're going to live on their own, right? And then me and my wife will be by ourselves. So now I've got that whole time. They have grown up. I have more time, like, for that passion, and, you know, for my wife too.
Yeah. And your sons are 16 and 13, right?
Yeah.
So it's already flying by. Like, I felt like 21 years flew by. Like, I'm already leaving the house, and, like, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, it will fly by, because just thinking of it, when we came to Canada, it was 2016. They were, I mean, I think my eldest one was until my shoulder, and now he's as tall as me.
Right.
So, but
that's an amazing mindset to have, because once, you know, they're grown up, you'll have time to do whatever you want. And that's a weird way of saying that, but, like, time, just, you'll have a lot of time.
Yeah. I mean, if I, you know, like, if I get to 100, you know, 100 years old, then
yeah,
that means, if they grow up, so let's say my kids, they're 21, like you, you know, 25, they're on their own, right?
And you're still super young.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that got me inspired when you told me that on that one message that we were talking about, like, the imposter syndrome, right? Mm-hmm. Then you told me, no, that's super young, and I was feeling inspired. I was feeling great. So thank you for that. Yeah, I have like that, maybe 40, you know, 50 years more to live my life, right?
Yeah, and that puts my life into perspective too. I sometimes think, why am I not trying so hard, but I try to slow down and live life more. Maybe to the detriment of my business, sure, but yeah. To the whatever the opposite of detriment is, to the benefit of, you know, my mental health, my personal life, and my personal relationship. And so it's a balance, you know, because I want,
yeah,
like your business feels like a baby, like your kid, yeah, sometimes, but then also you have real, not real kids, like actual living kids too. So
yeah,
I think sometimes the pursuit of success can hurt the other aspects of your life, other pillars. And so it's up to you to decide, like, is it worth it to try to be exceptionally wealthy or very famous or other things in your life?
Yeah. I think it's pretty easy to get to get sucked in because of things that you watch, you know, because of people that you see and you compare yourself to, right?
Yeah.
And we're human, so we get easily addicted to some of those things. I don't know what's if you're getting what I'm saying there.
I mean, no, 100%. I agree. Watching other great creators and sometimes feeling inspired, sometimes feeling bummed out, or like, yeah, seeing how much people upload and thinking, what am I doing here? I'm sitting here watching this, right?
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, no, I think we all feel it. No, it's not just, I think probably every single person that makes videos feels that way at one point or another, or even through phases of their life, you know, thinking, like, one unrelated topic to video production, but related to the comparison syndrome, is there was just a recent interview with Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Emily Blunt. It was, I can't remember, Vogue or something, but it was like them answering questions that Google auto fills. So it was one of those types of questions. And one of the questions was like, towards The Rock, like, what's wrong with his abs? Like, why are his abs flabby? And it looked like he was, you know, he laughed it off, but he was still a little offended, a little hurt, you know, but he played off very well. And just to think, you know, that even Dwayne The Rock Johnson feels,
yeah,
compared, like, he compares himself to other fitness influencers or other people that are very well built, even though he is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, like one of the most beastly man alive, you know.
Come on, what are you saying?
Right, exactly. So I think everyone feels that, even though, like, advice is to not compare yourself, to compare yourself to who you were yesterday and everything like that, I think you should do it, but it's hard to do that all the time, especially with the amount of content we're consuming all the time. So I think it's just important to try our best and,
yeah,
try not to, but no, I feel what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why sometimes I just, you know, put away my phone, like, you know, yeah, put it somewhere else, like really far away from me. So, you know, so I stopped, okay, looking at this, and then now I'm feeling down because, you know, I'm comparing myself to this guy now, and he has a ton of videos and I have nothing.
I'm glad we talked, though, because,
yeah,
I mean, maybe an example, I was the guy with a bunch of videos, but I still feel the same way you feel.
That's, yeah, true, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm really glad that I could, you know, somehow, I don't know if this is what you call venting out.
No, it definitely is.
Because venting out is some, I think for me, is something negative, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, it feels great to, you know, to talk to someone who can understand how you feel towards this industry when it's really competitive. I don't see it as a competition.
Yeah. Yeah, like one of my recent guests, we were talking, and it was venting. We're just talking because we don't really have a lot of people to talk with, at least in our media community. Even when I was living, yeah, in Southern California, you don't see a videographer everywhere you go. You see a character, but you see a photographer sometimes. That's not necessarily the same. So
yeah,
it's probably venting in a good way, or just relating and talking,
yeah,
about things that you don't really have the chance to talk about all the time because not everyone understands. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but it just is what it is.
yeah, maybe more of a sharing, you know, sharing your thoughts and, you know,
yeah,
what your views are. Yeah.
But yeah, on that note, can you share where people can find you, like your website, or like if people want to email you? Or
So my website is Manila Pictures. So Manila, M-N-I-L-A pictures.com. Manila, because Manila is the capital of the Philippines. Yeah. And I'm from there. I'm from the Philippines. So it's more of a portfolio right now. So I don't know if it's right to put like some pricing in there. I just don't feel like I have to put it in there.
Yeah.
I feel uncomfortable when talking about, you know, pricing and stuff. But anyway, yeah, I have an Instagram too, so it's Manila_pictures. Just in case. I mean, I don't have a lot, but I share like some behind the scenes. I like sharing quotes, you know, just to inspire other people. And I know that some people maybe just need one quote to see and then they get inspired, right? Maybe
right, exactly. So, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing with that, Brian. It's been a wonderful conversation. I mean, this has been super fun and enlightening and inspiring and every bunch of other synonyms and adjectives. So with that,
I'm not a communicator like you. You know, you're really good at communication.
I appreciate it. Yeah. This has been a very free-flowing conversation. Yeah, you go.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you were born in, are you born in the States?
Yeah, I was born in Missouri.
So, yeah, I mean, whenever, sorry, this is just a side note, whenever I talk with someone, you know, I'm not an English native speaker. So when you talk to me, I try to translate it in my language, like Filipino, and then converse with you in English.
Yeah,
that's how it goes.
That's even more impressive how this, technically, English is also my second language. I learned Vietnamese first as a baby, and then like I started speaking English more. And then now it's my primary language, but I mean, I respect that a lot. The fact that you're able to have such a wonderful conversation and still like translate in your mind and speak a language
that's in
your... Yeah, not try. I think you did it.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you're very kind. I don't know what to say. I mean, probably one of the few people that I talk to that, you know, have that bright personality. So,
thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. This is super fun.
You.
Yeah.
And now we'll do it again.
We'll do it again. Let's do it again. But thank you everyone for listening, and that is the end of this episode.